I just think it's fun and worth it to come and listen to the music. Yeah. I listen to music. You all sing. But I mean, anyway, it's praise Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come and worship you. And Lord, I just thank you for your love and kindness. And Lord, I thank you for this season that we're called to remembrance your Savior's birth. And so we thank you for that. And pray you would just anoint us this morning, that we'd have a good insight of what you're trying to teach us through the scriptures. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive your truth. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to start there. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, Christianity, okay, is a whole, has a lot of stuff in it. Okay, that probably sounds irreverent, doesn't it? Okay, Christianity has a lot of stuff. I mean, you look at it, it can be a little overwhelming. We know we just focus on Jesus and we're forgiven, we're going to heaven. All right, that's good. You know, I mean, it really is good. But it's besides that, there's a lot of stuff. And what I'm going to do this morning, we're going to try and we're going to tie the stuff together. And I really believe in a succinct way, going to tie all the stuff together. And it's going to be helpful for each one of us when we look at the stuff. All right? Now, so when we open the Bible or when we, you know, we have different things come our way and we have different challenges, this message is going to help us to have a kind of a foothold to deal with the stuff. Amen? Amen? Okay. And so we're going to center around this verse. Again, I give a little context. Let's look at the stuff. And again, so it's a brief. So it's just to start you out a toehold in the stuff. So it's kind of like pitching you in the stuff, but giving you a toehold to come out of it and understand. All right? So in the stuff, we're looking at the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, as I've said before, is a systematic theology, meaning the Apostle Paul gives a systematic understanding of Christianity. That's what he does. It is a very difficult chapter. If you ever wanted to go to seminary, I do not want ever possess you to do that. You know, they would give you volumes on the book of Romans. Volumes and volumes. And volumes and volumes of people who disagree with each other. Like I said, I don't know why you'd want to do that, all right? But they disagree. And these are people that are going to heaven. And only Jesus is going to be able to clear it up for these folks, all right? That's the only way it's going to work. I mean, because I've looked at it. You know, there's smart people disagreeing. And so we're going to look at Romans, and the Bible was written. Guess who the Bible was written for? You know, was it written for theologians? No, it was written for us. It's just written for us to get through life. Hey, this is what's happening to help you get through life. So I think we can have some insight here. So the context of Romans is written to the church that's recorded in the book of Acts. So you have the book of Acts, and that's the history of the church. You look at the book of Acts, that's the history. All the letters are written into that book. They don't stand alone outside of it. They're written into that. So there's a context there, all right? That's a big thing to know. Well, we'll look at the book of Romans, and it has no connection with anything. No, it was written to the Roman church in the book of Acts when things were hopping, okay? So it's written in there, and it's helping these people give some insight to what's happening. So the power of God's moving, things are popping. And so Paul said, okay, let me kind of explain to you what's happening, okay? So they're just getting an explanation. I mean, they're just loving Jesus, okay? Just powerfully loving Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul said, well, let me tell you the picture of what's happening here. So that's kind of it. Now, so when we look at the book of Romans, and this is Paul telling everybody, this is what's happening. This is so you can understand what's happening. First of all, and this is for, we need to remember this. First of all, in the book of Romans, we have the first five chapters, okay? First five chapters is really, in a way, the doctrine of the church. Just the first five chapters. And, I mean, they all of the doctrine of the church, but the first five chapters are talking about Christ and who he is and what he did. So the first five chapters is really important. Martin Luther, who started the Reformation in the 1500s, got saved. He got saved. He is a Catholic monk. He got saved in the book of Romans, reading chapter 1. That's how he got saved. Now, yours truly got saved by reading chapter 3. I mean, up to chapter, I got saved in chapter 3. So it's the doctrine of the church. See, Martin Luther was more spiritual than I was. He got saved in chapter 1. I didn't get saved until chapter 3. But anyway, it works. So there you have the book of Romans. And again, just so everybody hold your hand up. Just please tolerate me just for a minute. All right? Now, how many fingers? Five fingers. The first five chapters, the doctrine of the church. Okay, remember that. You squeeze it like that and you punch the devil in the nose. All right? Now, there you go. So that is the first five chapters. Now, it's not an easy read, but it is powerful. It's a thing to study and know the doctrine of the church. All right, then we move it on to chapter 6. And again, this succinct, all right? We're not going to have a seminary course here. Succinct. Chapter 6 is like you have the doctrine, now make a decision. I mean, that's basically what chapter 6 is. Make a decision. Just make a decision, all right? Human choices. Oh, if whatever God tells me. I think God's told us. Make a choice based on the information in chapter 5. So, chapter 6. 5, the doctrine. 6, make a human choice. 7, God is so good. God is so good. 7, after you make that choice, chapter 7, you're going to have a struggle. Man, this ain't quite working out like I thought it would. Oh my gosh, and is God saying this, I want to do this, and they're all conflicting. The struggle is in chapter 7. By the way, even in your human decisions, you know, you don't have a struggle until you make a decision. You know, you make a decision, then everybody, well, what about this, what about this? And you go, oh, I don't know, God, there's a struggle. So in Christianity, chapter 7 is the struggle. Okay, you with me? The doctrine. Study it. Chapter 6, got to make a human decision. Chapter 7, there's a struggle. What would Paul tell us in chapter 8? Guess. Just guess. What would he tell us in chapter 8? How to overcome. Make a decision. Chapter 6. Chapter 7, the struggle. 8, now I'm going to tell you how to overcome. 8 is huge. Because he's going to tell us to overcome. What we have in chapter 8 is the pinnacle of God's explanation on how to have the victory. That's what chapter 8's all about. Again, the doctrine, make the decision, the struggle. Now, here's how you have the victory. Okay? It's not, here's how you have the doctrine. No, we got the doctrine, first five chapters. This is how you have the victory. Now, this is really important, this pinnacle of explanation of how to have the victory, because the rest of the book, chapter 9 through 16, is application. It's all application, okay? Now, 9 through 11, a little tough, but anyway, we'll just save for this message, 9 through 16, is application. Okay, here's the things you apply to your Christian life. You know, be nice to your wife, and wife be nice to your, you know, husbands, and be nice to your kids, and pay your taxes, and, you know, it's all that stuff. It does all sorts of stuff like that, okay? So we have that in chapter 9 through 16. But here's something very important. To be able to powerfully do 9 through 16, you gotta know 8. Now, most of my Christian experiences and with other pastors is they're teaching 9 through 16 and skipping 8. Or they'll teach 1 through 5 and they'll skip 8. You know, it's like, wait a minute, but where's the chapter that tells us to have the victory? 8. Well, you can't skip it. You can't skip that chapter because that's where the power is to have the victory. Here's the doctrine. I'm just going to love doctrine. Now, I could go there. I really could, because I love, I can just, you know, I can stay in my office and just study doctrine. Now, I love that, but it's not real productive. I noticed that our lawn doesn't get mowed. I've noticed that I can be a huge irritation to my wife. I don't know why, because the door's shut. I'm not bothering nobody. But anyway, it is an irritation for her, for me to be in there studying doctrine. All right? You know, and I could, you know, really care less about 8 at that time, you know. But she can be a kind of a nudge me to chapter 8. You know, you need to show some victory here. Anyway, but see, because I can just do 5. But if you do 5 without chapter 8, no victory, then you become kind of an intellectual egghead with no practical application for anything. You become a theologian, you know, you become an academic. Now, let me tell you what academic is. This guy, one time, he is lost. He's in the balloon. He's in this air balloon. Really? So and he got lost. I mean, he's going around. And so, gosh. And so he saw this farmhouse. And so he got real low to this guy. And he says, holler down. He says, can you tell me where I am? He goes, you're 10 feet above the ground. And the guy goes, you must be an academic. You're 100% correct, and it has no application to anything. See, now that's what happens when you study chapter 1, the 5 chapters, and you skip 8. There's no meat to pass on. You just enjoy, you know, rolling around in the words. But they're good words. So, and then you start teaching 9 through 16 about the principles, but you skip 8, the power to carry out those principles. Now you're just under the rules. Good rules, Christian rules, okay? Nothing. 8 is huge. 8 is huge. So we want to look at 8, and we want to try to think, how does this, the importance of it, and have an understanding of what chapter 8 has about having the victory. All right. Verse 5, doctrines. Chapter 6, make a decision. You got the doctrine, make a decision. 7, now you're going to have a struggle. Chapter 8, here's how you have the victory. Are you ready for the victory? All right, let's see what Paul says in chapter 8. Now, how I want to do this is, Romans is a difficult book. The whole thing is difficult. And I don't even pretend to think I've got the whole thing, you know, understood at all. Enjoy it. I mean, I love being in the room and reading it. But anyway, it's trying to get a grasp of what is the purpose to change one's life, the impact. So to do this, I'm going to use an illustration, okay, to drive home a point. I'm going to use some illustrations. And as we look at those illustrations, we'll remember those illustrations. And with those illustrations, we can look at the words, and those illustrations will help us understand the words. Amen? That sound good? All right. Well, first of all, here's the first illustration. I'm going to use an illustration of a car. All right? Now, some people really appreciate, you know, I know Carlos appreciates this. I know Adam appreciates this, you know, because he's telling me about fixing his car, you know. I mean, he knew what to do after you lifted the hood, so I thought I was impressed, you know. So the car, so what you have is an illustration of a perfect car. This is an absolute perfect car, and this car represents the perfect religion. This is the perfect religion. I mean, we'll say this is, this car is coming directly out of seminary, okay? Right out of seminary. And I mean, it's got chapter 5 nailed down. All the, you look in there and you got wires and stuff going around and you're going, oh my gosh, look at this. This is something else. So you got this fascinating car. You have excellent workmanship. You have a powerful engine. This is the picture of the beautiful religion. All right? Say, this car has intricate working parts, excellent structure, and the necessary operating manuals. Amen? Amen. You've got to have the operating manuals. And what is this related to? It's related to our beautiful religion with all our teaching and all our biblical principles. We got good operating manuals. I had a guy that was, it was a little sarcastic, I guess, but he was from Africa. And he told me that if the world could be saved by material and manuals, that the United States would save the world. Because we have more material and manuals than anybody else. See? And so we have the manuals, okay? So here we have the wonderful car and the manuals. And so we want to use this and apply this car in everyday life, okay? We want to apply this car in everyday life. The excellent religion, and we want to apply it in everyday life. So we will apply it as religion, okay? Are we good? You know where I'm going here, okay? That is our, and by the way, we want to personalize this. This is our religion. This is what we believe. We believe this. This is what we believe. Okay? So, we want to take everything we've learned, and we want to make this thing work. All right? Amen? Okay, next slide. We want to make it work. This thing has got to have some power. I mean, we have got to get something behind our beliefs to make these beliefs work. We really do. We have to implement all these principles. We push our religious car. We push our religious car. We get our kids behind it, and we push our religious car. You know? So we're just pushing our religious car. What? How is the car? Is it a good car? There's some bad cars. Okay, there are some bad cars out there. All right, they're bad. But we're not talking about the bad cars. We're talking about good car. We're talking about our car. We have a good car. Okay, this is biblically sound. And so what we're going to do? It's like we're going to live out this religion, and we're living it out. Now, I'm going to ask you, no one can raise their hands. You ever feel like this lady as you're living out your religion? You ever feel like this? Wallace asked me to do what? You know, teach Sunday school? Fine, praise Jesus. You know, I mean, it's Lord. I mean, it's like, yes, you love Jesus? Of course I love Jesus. You know, you see what I'm saying? So we're doing the best. We got a good car. We're doing the best we know how. All right? So we push it to work. We push it to church. We push it at home. We study the car. We polish the car. We tell others about the car. And we're starting to feel tired. No matter what the reproach, no matter what approach we take to implement our beliefs, we start feeling some fatigue. Some monotony, and we start feeling like a little powerless, you know. Right there. Say, will you pray for me? Sure, whatever. You know, like that. Lord Jesus, I do more for them than you're doing for me. I mean, like that. So there you go. So you got that, because you're pushing the car. This is a good car. This is a good car. I mean, there's 5 Bibles on the front seat in this car. I mean, it's a good car, all right? Therefore, we're tired pushing the car. Now, this is individual. Each of you soaking this in, okay? This is for you, individually. So we get tired of pushing the car, and so we think, gosh, this is really tough. So we decide we need a support group, all right? So in the next slide, all right? We get a support group, all right? And it's like, we need to get more people to help us push the car. You know? I mean, because this is, I mean, I'm tired. You know? I've been teaching Sunday school for 6 months. Somebody got to step up on this thing. Come on. You know? I mean, this is getting next to me. And so we get a support group, and we get people to help us do it. And, you know, it's kind of nice to have a support group. And it's nice to have people around you talk to. You know, you can talk. You don't get tired as fast. You don't get tired quite as fast as you do by yourself, okay? But still, after time, you know, even those people start getting on your nerves, you know? After time, the fatigue and the monotony starts creeping back in, you know? Oh, where's the joy of my salvation, You know, it just starts creeping back. You're just tired. See, I sometimes wonder, I call people up, I wonder if they see my name on the caller ID, they don't answer the phone. You know, it's like, no, I ain't doing it. You know, so I'm just not going to be home like that. And by the time I answer it, he'll get somebody else. See, you get tired. You get tired. Anyway, but so you have this picture, you're pushing the car. But again, we got a good car, and this thing needs to work. You know, it needs to work, and we know it's a good car. So here we are. This is, I want to say, this is Christianity. This is most of Christianity that I witness around the world. It really is. And I don't think anybody's recording this or anything, but I think it's like 90%. This is Christianity. You make it work. You make it work. All right? I mean, how else you do anything else in life? You make it work. And you get tired. And you get tired. Now we're to chapter 8. We're to chapter 8. Now here's what Paul tells us in chapter 8. I mean, it is so insightful. It is so powerful what he tells us in chapter 8. Look at the next slide. Okay? Can you put gas in the car? Put some gas in the car. You got a good car. And nothing wrong with the car. Put some good gas in the car. Everybody, you know, somebody's telling you some good Christian truth and all the things you need to know about Christ, and you think, you know, right now I don't care. Just leave me alone. See? Because there's no gas in the car. It's just car. You're tired of polishing this thing. It ain't going no place. See? Going no place. So, the Paul's saying in chapter 8, he says, put gas in the car. He's saying gas is necessary to run the car. This is chapter 8. Gas, when you read chapter 8, I'm going to say, it's a picture. Okay, you have this picture, chapter 8. Make it look like a NASCAR. Do NASCAR, they don't do figure 8. Something does figure 8, so okay, it's a figure 8. 8, you got to have the gas. Chapter 8 is gas in the car. It's gas in the car. So we think gas in the car. Gas is necessary to run the car. We need a gas to be able to live our religion. We need it. See, the things of God, listen to this, the things of God were never intended to be achieved by human effort pushing the car. I don't think a lot of people in the church believe that. It's like, well, how am I going to get anybody to teach Sunday school? You tell them that, and you say they don't have to. Say, oh, I'm not telling them that. I mean, that's what's good about the law. You don't teach Sunday school, you're going to hell. You know, I mean, it motivates. It works, you know, but they still get tired, you know. They still get tired. So what you have here, the things of God were never intended to be achieved by human effort. Religion was never intended to be achieved by human effort. Pushing the car. You never were supposed to push this religious car, okay? The things of God were intended to be achieved by the Holy Spirit. Gas in the car. I'm going to repeat it. The things of God were intended to be achieved by the Holy Spirit. Gas in the car. We'll skip 8 and just push this sucker all our lives. You know, no, put some gas in this thing. Put some gas in it. This is the way it runs. It runs through the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8. That's why chapter 8 is there. Amen? So you have this. It's like, oh my goodness. So we fill this religious car up with gas. We have gas in the car, and we stop pushing this thing. Look at this next line. Oh man, we are going to town. We are going to town. We just got our hand hanging over the side at risk, you know. We're going down. We just trump that thing down, and we are scooting. Okay? And I tell you, as we go by, we got the window rolled down and say, look at my car. You know? Because we're scooting. And we got something to show people. Man, that thing moving. Look at those other folks. They're pushing their car. This guy is scooting on his. You know, and he's not tired. See? That's called a Christian witness. Anyway, oh, well, also the girl pushing her car, that's also called a Christian witness. And nobody else wants to do it, you know, but is a Christian witness, all right? But the guy in the car, man, he's sick. And says, oh, my gosh, look at this. There's stuff happening because he's got gas in his car. See, the girl pushing the car had the same principles as the guy driving the car. The principles didn't change. The woman didn't have any gas in her car, and the guy had gas in his car. Same principles. Do you see what I'm saying? That is what's happening in chapter 8. So God is trying to show us something. So we, here we go, driving the car. And even some of the terminology we see starts making sense that I never did understand. So with a car full of gas, we rest inside the car being propelled by the full power of the engine. Full of the Holy Spirit, we rest in Christ, being propelled by the full power of God. How many times does the Bible say, rest in Christ, abide in Christ? He said, put gas in the car and sit down and rest in the car. That's what he's saying, all right? See, he's abide in Christ. Just rest, drive that thing. Put gas in it, just drive that thing, okay? And so we have the full power of God now moving because we're in the car resting in Christ. Because we have gas in the car. Have gas in the car. He's telling us to do that. We get in the car, we rest in Christ, empowered supernaturally. That's the way Christianity is supposed to work. That's the way it worked in the first century church. See, they didn't have all the principles. They had the Old Testament law. Paul and everybody said, don't do that. That's got you all screwed up. You see? So they're just loving Jesus and the power of God's going. And so write you the book of Romans so you can have some, you know, context to the power that you're serving and say, oh, good. And then what we do now in the church, we forget about chapter 8 and let's just get the principles. And then we're just like the Old Testament. We're like the Old Testament people. We're just moving rules and regulations. Amen? Now, we know about Jesus because we can teach you. Because we're going to ask somebody like me locked in his room with his wife mad at him studying the doctrine. I tell you the doctrine. Now, you're not going to be a bit powerful and probably be irritated when I finish talking to you. Gosh, that's the most tiring discussion I ever had, you know. It's like, I'm sure he's right, but ain't nothing happening. See? Because you got to, chapter 8, you got to put gas in that doctrinal car. You got to put it in there. And you want to do the principles 9 through 16, you need gas to carry those things out. See? Or you get tired. You get tired. Now, so here, that's the picture. And so we have this picture. Everybody, we got the picture. We got the picture. How will you ever forget this? I know Carlos won't because he likes cars. Okay? I don't think Adam will. He likes cars. It makes a lot. But you got to stand, don't you? This is what it looks like. You have these pictures so you can see those pictures and understand that is what God is telling us in chapter 8. All right? You got the pictures. All God's people said, amen. Now let's look at the verses. Now let's look at the verses with the pictures. This is unique. This is a thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Unique to real Christianity. Now let's go back to Romans 8:5. This is what we started off with. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Got to make this work. I, my flesh, you're the girl pushing the car. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on, I got to figure out, I got to get this, I need to grease the wheels. I need to get help. You know, I need to call a tow truck. I got to do something. My focus is making this thing work. See, those who live according to the flesh set their minds, your head, your minds, on the things of the flesh to make this thing work. Make life work. Then it says, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Those who set their mind on the gas, put gas in the car, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit, and they put gas in the car. And because their mind said, what is God telling me? What is God showing me? God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I know you have this. God, you give me your strength. God, you show me what to do. Wallace just called me to teach Sunday school. And Lord, you tell me what to do. I don't know. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. But you need to show me and tell me where I need to be. And your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, the things of the Spirit start opening up to you. You see what I'm saying? Because the Spirit of God is working. But where is your mindset? See, this is really difficult. I don't know, this Spirit stuff. Where is your mindset? God says, I'll do my deal if you'll do your deal. Set your mind. When you're driving along, hey, you ran out of gas. Why'd you run out of gas? I don't know, just going along, singing songs, and I ran out of gas. Mind wasn't set on looking for a service station. Your mind wasn't set on looking at your gauge. You know, when it gets on empty and the light comes on, it runs out of gas. Set your mind to look at the gauge. Set your mind to be aware of how much gas is in your car. And the Bible says, be continually filled with the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the things that God is doing. Set your mind on those things, then you're going to be aware. And then you'll have gas in the car. And you come into a difficult situation, like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. God, fill me, get gas. Gas in my car because I don't know what to say, and I'm going to go in. And then he will fill you with his Spirit, and then he will use those principles and bring them to mind to penetrate and work powerfully because you have gas in the car. Amen? That's what chapter 8 is saying. You skip chapter 8, the Bible becomes miserable. You know, we got to read that again. Oh my goodness. You know. Couldn't I just say one rotten thing to them? I mean, I'd feel so good if I told them what I really thought. You know, why are you really thinking that? Well, I don't know, but I'm not saying it, so I guess I'm okay. Must have something in my car. You see what I'm saying? But it's like, no, I just, God, fill me. Wallace, can you see what I'm doing in this situation? Wallace, can you see what's going on? All right, God, I see you. I see you. And then everything takes a different look. Because you got gas in your car. Amen? That's what he's saying in chapter 8. So it permeates everything, but it's not the focus. You ever drive a car and it's going, oh, gas in the tank, 3/4, 1/2, gas in the tank. No, but he's saying you're aware. It permeates everything, but you're aware of it. You see what I'm saying? You're not totally focused on that. You set your mind and you're aware of it, but it kind of permeates everything at the same time. Amen? See? The car. Now, so this is what verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5 is saying. And the key, we in our humanness can understand this. Set your mind. Your mind. Where is your head? You ever talk to your kids? Where was your head? What was you thinking? The truth is, they weren't. Okay? No, just set your mind. Set your mind. Amen? So isn't that verse powerful? See, but that's what he's talking about. Now, we have our mindset, and we're set being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God to do what God says. All right? We can say, well, we're full of Jesus. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want to, technically, he's at the right hand of God in heaven. And just technically. You know, but you can say full of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is what indwells us. Now, so we look at this. We got the nice car, and we've got the nice driver's manual, and we're driving, and the driving directions, so we have our mind to set to put gas on the car. Okay, so we have the wonderful teaching and wonderful church, but we set our mind on being filled with the Spirit. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers to give victory. This isn't just our mind. Just in our mind. We're aware of this. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers to give the victory in our body. That's what? In our body. He gives power in our body and through our body. Okay? The Holy Spirit, you know, got the cheekers right here. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in this thing right here. He's in here. All right? You pinch your cheek. That's where he is. He's in there. All right? Woohoo. It's in there, okay? So we know that the Holy Spirit is in our body, and he wants to give life to our body and power to our body. This thing, oh, when I get to heaven, I'll be over this. Yes, you will. You will, you know? But there's a reason that God didn't kill you when you came to know Jesus, all right? You're here. So he's going to give you power here, too. So in your body, he's giving you power, okay? The Holy Spirit is giving us power to have victory in our life today. Today. So before we study chapters Romans 9 through 16, we need to get power in our body today like that. It helps. A lot of Bible says if you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, all right? We need to have gas in the car, all right? Now look, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Here it is. Got the car. Everybody remember our car? If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, talk about giving life to a mortal body, okay? That's talk about giving life to a body. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What mortal body? Well, that's when I'm in heaven. No, you ain't going to have a mortal body in heaven. You have a spiritual body. Where's your mortal body? Right here on the old terra firma. Okay? Right here. This is it. This is it. He said, I'm going to give life to your mortal bodies by the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. He said, look at this. Jesus, whoop. Wow, look at that. He got up. See, that's what's in us, and he's going to give life to our mortal bodies by his Spirit. And so, through the Spirit who dwells in us. Put gas in the car. Don't skip chapter 8 and study something else. Try to figure out 8, and because everything circles about life here. What the doctrine did, what Jesus did, he did for us. We're going, cool, man, I believe. What he did in the Holy Spirit, chapter 8, he's doing in us right now to do something right now in us. See? And so that's what he's saying in chapter 8. And he's telling, it is as clear as the nose on our face. It's as clear as the car on the overhead. All right? Now, so there's the verses with the picture of the car. Now, do you want to have power in your mortal bodies? Chapter 8. Then you need not, then do not neglect the Holy Spirit. Don't. Okay? Why? Because not only did you receive the Holy Spirit, not only did you receive the Holy Spirit, you need to set your mind on the Holy Spirit. See, you received it, that salvation, then you set your mind on it. Hey, I got one full tank of gas. It's going to last me for the next 20 years. No, you received it, but set your mind on it to keep the tank full. All right? Keep the tank full. And again, I know certain analogies break down, but you get the idea. All right? And so you set your mind on the Spirit, and then you're continually filled, continually filled. And no matter what you do, you have to be mindful that your car needs gas. No matter what you do as a Christian, you have to be mindful that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You set your mind on things of the Spirit. Now, all believers have the Holy Spirit when they believe on Jesus Christ. You don't lose the Spirit. But some of us are running on fumes. They're running on fumes. Yeah, he's there somewhere. Whew, you know, I know he's a, something's going on, you know. But then there might not too much fire coming out of this thing, okay? It's just fumes. It's just like we're just barely making it. See, that woman pushing the car, she had the Holy Spirit in her, you know. She's tired. She's tired. Why? Because she wasn't doing what God meant for her to do. You see what I'm saying? Whose fault was it? God's or hers? See, the girl skipped chapter 8. The girl skipped chapter 8. She's got the first 5 chapters down, but she skipped chapter 8. And then she went, got the first 5 chapters down, she skipped chapter 8, and she went to application 9 to 16. They just put more people in the car she's got to push. Just gave her more rules. I mean, that poor lady is given out because she skipped chapter 8. That's what Paul's saying. Don't skip chapter 8. They got, fill me. Now, The Bible says, this is what the Bible says about filling. First of all, chapter 8 told us something very important. Okay, this big spooky thing. Set your mind on the things that set your mind. That's it. Okay, be aware of it. Set your mind on it. And the Bible, other places, says this. Just ask. Abba, Daddy, fill me. Abba, Daddy, lead me. Your focus, your thinking, and God does his work. He just wants us engaged in his plan, and then he will empower us to do what he says. But we have to ask and have to be aware. Hallelujah. Now, are y'all ever going to forget this message? Come on. Yeah, yeah, that car. That's what God's, that ties this together. That ties Christianity together. Doctrine, power, application. Oh, big bucket. Now, working out the details, okay, we're all in this together. Okay, it's not that simple. It's a difficult thing. But at least we have a foundation where we can move forward. All right? Amen? Well, then let's be like the early church, and we'll look here at Acts 2:38. This is what the early church said. Acts, this is where it started. I don't know why we want to change it. This is the way it started, Acts 2:38. Come to Jesus and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Peter said, you know, and Peter, when he said this, Peter's been saved like 10 minutes. All right? When Peter said this, he's been saved by it. He received the Spirit. He's been had the Spirit, fullness about 10 minutes. All right? So it's good. Once you fill the car up, you don't have to let it soak in. Once you fill it up, you can just stomp that thing and leave the gas station, just peeling rubber all out there. So Peter, he just filled. I mean, so he's fired up right now, just 5 minutes. And here's what he says. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You get a full tank. Your sins are forgiven, and you get a full tank. And this, I'll tell you how to keep that tank full. Just keep it full. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up and we'll just praise God. We'll have our worship team come. You know, I really believe this, that worship is an element of filling the tank. I mean, just ask to be full. You know, that the Bible, that's what the Bible says, ask and that he will fill you with the Spirit. It says it. And it says, be continually full. Filled. So you continually ask, or you continually set your mind on it. But there's another aspect, and the Bible, I think, is clear in that, is when you worship, you're filled. It's hard to worship and not be filled. Do you ever come in and just had a rotten day, had a fight with your wife or something, and you go, oh, God, they're praising Jesus. Oh, man. You know, it's just hard to get into it, you know, like that. And I got to raise my hands next to her. It's like when you come together and you worship, you just, there's a fullness of the Spirit. Don't you? How often you come and you sing worship things and hear. I mean, we've got wonderful, talented people. I love the songs this morning. And you worship and you just, everything's going to be just fine. Oh, it's just going to be fine. What changed? Man, nothing changed. It's as bad now as it was when you came in here. But you say, oh, it's going to be just fine. It's going to be just, because you're worshiping. You're being filled with the Spirit. That's one way to be filled with Spirit. You're worshiping. You're going before the Lord. And you're just feeling it. Ah. And the Bible says worship. And the Bible says, Ephesians says, it says be filled with the Spirit. Sings hymns and spiritual songs. And it did say hymns, didn't it? Hymns and spiritual songs. I said, I don't care for hymns. But, you know, I'm not very spiritual. But it's so you sing hymns and spiritual songs and be filled with the Spirit. That's one way to be filled with the Spirit. You know, you're going out, everybody's going crazy, turn on the radio, say, I just want to worship God. I just want to worship God. And it'll take you out of that hole. It's a spiritual truth. It says worship. That's all through the Scripture. It says worship the Lord, praise the Lord, worship the Lord. You want to get out of your funk? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Praise the Lord, worship the Lord. And you can do that anywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's do that. Let's worship the Lord.